This morning we're finishing a sermon series that we've been in for 5 weeks. It's called Explore God. We've been asking big questions. Just to review some of the topics that we've looked at, is there a God? Week one, why does God allow pain and suffering? Week two, is Christianity too narrow? Week three, is the Bible reliable? And now this week, can I know God personally? So that's what we're looking at this morning. This is the last in Explore God. Next Sunday, we'll be back in 1 Timothy. We're going to be finishing our study of 1 Timothy verse by verse, which is what we typically do here at Fellowship Raleigh. We've got chapter 6 to finish, and I'm very excited to be back there next week together. So can I know God personally? That's the question. I mean, wasn't that an amazing statistic we just saw in that video that, 75% of adults said that something they desired for their future was a close relationship with God. I mean, I don't know where they even did that research. I didn't even know that 75% of people that are adults believed in God. But people, at least we can say from that and just from what we know of people, people do desire to know God. They desire to know God. And it is an important question. Can I know God personally? In many ways, this question is the simplest yet the deepest of all the questions that we've looked at. Can I know God personally? And before we even just try to answer it, I want to set the stage by talking about how this is a tough question. Think about it like this. First off, can I know God? Underline, maybe emphasize the word I. Can I know God? We'll get to personally in a moment. Can I? Can someone like me, can a creature like me know the Creator? You know, David, the psalmist in the Old Testament, he writes in Psalm 8, "When I look at your heavens, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Psalm 8, what he's doing there is he's looking at the heavens, the galaxies, the universes that God has created. You know, our galaxy is just like the tip of a needle that God is holding in his hands. And that's just one galaxy where our universe is, where our solar system is, where our planet is, where Raleigh is. How can we, living our little lives as creatures in Raleigh, have a relationship at all with a creator that big? Can anyone know God? Can you actually know God? I mean, he is invisible. He is spiritual. He created time and space and matter. That's our lives. He doesn't live in that. He lives outside of that. How can we know him? I mean, it's a big question. He's eternal. I'm in my late 30s. I'm a vapor. My life is a breath. Yours is too. How can we know God? He's all-knowing. I didn't finish algebra. He is all-powerful. I'm weak. You are weak. How can we know God? How can I know God? He's holy. We're sinful. We're unholy. How can we know God? That's a fair and important question. But then to go even further, I mean, just to know God is one thing, but then to throw this word at the end there, can I know God, and then to throw it in personally? Like a personal relationship? Not like, you know, just a crutch? Not like Wilson in the movie Castaway? I don't know if you've seen this movie. Tom Hanks is stranded on an island. No people around anywhere, so he finds an old volleyball made by the company Wilson, and he draws a face on it, and it becomes his best friend. And he talks to Wilson, and he develops an incredible bond with this volleyball named Wilson. And is that what we mean, have a relationship with God? It's like, well, he's not really there. You can't really know him personally, but you can have this sort of helpful dynamic. Is that what we mean? No. It's not a pretend relationship with a lifeless object that can't talk back. There are degrees of a personal relationship, though, right? You have a personal relationship with your pet. I mean, but it's pretty much, you know, pretty mature and fully developed after about a week of having your pet. I mean, I know some of us love our pets, right? But it's not like in the 25th year of your relationship with your pet, you're like, I'm really getting to know them now. More vulnerability, more openness. Shared her testimony with me the other day. I mean, that's not going to happen. So there are degrees of personal relationship. There's a pet. There's someone you've just met. There's deep personal relationships that we have with people. Unconditional love, mutual conversation, growing knowledge of the other, companionship, sharing life together, self-sacrifice, fun, adventure. Can I have a relationship with God like that? A personal relationship. God is a person. I didn't say he's just a human. He's not the man upstairs. I mean, Jesus is fully God and fully man, but God is other, but he is a person. He has a personality. He has a will. He has a desire. Can we know him personally, though? That's the question. And let's just say this. I mean, we're going to pray and then we're going to answer it. But let's say this. If you can, that's got to be like the greatest thing. If you properly, you know, step back and properly address this question and don't just brush past it and answer it all simply with John 3:16 or whatever, but really ask the question and then think about it. If you can know God personally, that's like the best thing ever. So let's pray. And then we're going to get into this this morning. So God, we thank you for this opportunity to get together. And we are going to look at different scriptures today. Lord, your word, your inspired word. Pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to the whole of our person. And help us, God, to move from where we are to where you want us to be in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the answer to the question, can I know God personally, for us as we think about this from the Bible, is a resounding yes. Not only can we, but God wants that. And so the answer is yes, I can know God personally. And this morning we're going to look at three ways to know God personally. These are all very important, and they build on one another. So, yes, I can know God personally, and here's how. And the first one is this. Get started with Jesus. Get started with Jesus. If you picture a baseball diamond, you know, I mean, even with very minimal knowledge of baseball, you know that if you're the batter and you hit the ball, where are you supposed to run? First base, you know, don't run to third base. Don't run to the pitcher's mound. You go to first base. That's the first step. That's where you get started. And Jesus is first base. Get started with Jesus. Don't run around the bases without touching first base. That's not going to work. So start there. If you want to think of it in terms of like directions, maybe you're using a smartphone and you're trying to get directions somewhere, and it asks you, do you want to start with your current location? Then say yes. And just understand that any current location is okay with God. He can work with your situation. It's not dependent on your life or your good works. It's dependent on Christ. And so you put in, yes, I want to start with my current location. And then you put in your destination. And the correct destination is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where you want to get started. So get started with Jesus is the point here. Let me show you a couple verses. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Look carefully at these verses. I want you to see them. These would be, all the verses we look at today would be great verses for you to consider as life verses. Number one, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The old us, you that was just born into this world by your mom, is not capable of having a personal relationship with God. The old us can't. So we're right to ask that question and be sort of confused about it. Because it's not possible in the flesh. It's not possible in your own strength. You've got to be made new. You've got to be given a new heart, a new mind, a new spiritual life, a new pulse inside of you that you have sort of an ability to know God. And if you have that, you know it. If you don't, you feel it too. You feel the emptiness of it. God's got to give you that new life. It's like God reaches into your heart and turns a light switch on that only He can reach. And that is the new birth, and it's the new creation. And it's talked about here in 2 Corinthians 5. And it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Get started with Jesus. Get started with asking God to make you a new creation. Keep looking at some verses. Look at James 2:23. It'll be on the screen. It says, Abraham believed God. Make a note of that word, believed, the idea of faith. Believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, as he was called a friend of God. Isn't that amazing? You say, I told you, we're answering the question, can I know God personally? The Bible answers it. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. What made him a friend of God? Righteousness. What made him righteous? Believing God. Because none of us have a righteousness of our own that makes us a friend of God. You understand? That's the bad news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has a righteousness that he will give to you if you put your faith in him, allowing him in his death on the cross to be a death for your unrighteousness. If you put your faith in Jesus and in what he did on the cross, then you are putting your unrighteousness right there. You're nailing it to the cross. And what does he give you? He gives you what he has that you don't have. He gives you righteousness. And when you have righteousness that has come about through faith, through belief, you, like Abraham, can be a friend of God. That's what this verse instructs us in. So have you, like Abraham, believed in God and received this righteousness that comes through faith? Look at another verse, John 1:12. Continuing here, it says, to all who did receive him, it's talking about Jesus, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So just a recap here real quick. Do you see? I mean, Abraham's called a friend of God. Here, if we really receive Jesus, does it say know about Jesus? Does it say hang out with people who know about Jesus? No. It says if you receive Jesus, he gives you the right to be called a children of God. So listen, like, you're talking about friend of God, you're talking about children of God. Do you see the personal relationship forming here? This is a personal relationship with God. That's what God wants. But do you believe in him? Have you taken the step of receiving him? Have you? Loved one, if you have, you would know you have. And so let me encourage you, if you doubt that you have, to consider talking with someone about this important step, or to just take this step to receive Christ by faith. So, again, here's the point. The first point is this. Yes, you can have a relationship with Jesus, and you, number one, get started with Jesus. First base is Jesus. Number two, by the way, I've got to share with you this one more verse. In John 15:15, the disciples had made the decision that I'm challenging us all to make sure that we've taken. They got started with Jesus. He said, follow me. They followed him. And he says to them in John 15:15, he says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Amazing. It's really amazing. All right, so number two. So first, get started with Jesus. Secondly, make it personal with you. Make it personal with you. We all have relationships that we have started that maybe we have never gone deep in. We all have relationships that maybe once were very deep and personal but aren't currently. Everybody can relate with that, right? It is on you. Make it personal with you. Make your relationship with God, once you've gotten started with Jesus, make it personal within you. Revelation 3:19-20 is a verse I want to show you. It says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." Listen to verse 20. Look at it if you can. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Okay. This verse in Revelation is written to the church at Laodicea. They were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm, and God hated that. Make a note, they were Christians. This was a church. These are Christian people he's writing to. So Revelation 3 verse 20 is not a declaration to people who've never heard of God. Hey, he's knocking, open the door of your heart, let Jesus in. He's a G.I. Joe figure, he wants to live in your heart. No, it's not talking about that. This is Jesus speaking to Christian people. And he is saying, why don't we have a close relationship? You got started with me, now you're lukewarm. I want to have a personal relationship with you. I'm standing outside the door. You're inside having a meal, having table fellowship. I want to be in that place in your life. But you have to open the door. You have to make it personal with you. That's the point. And so how do we do this? Well, here's a couple of thoughts as we consider making it personal in our lives. We get started with Jesus by grace alone, through faith alone, not our works, not our effort. We get started there, but then we make it personal with us. And a lot of us fail to do this, forget to do this, neglect to do this. By personal, first of all, we mean not mom and dad's faith. It's got to be personal to you, not personal to your family. And for that matter, not your kids' faith. Not mom and dad's faith, not your kids' faith, your faith. You will stand before the Lord alone. I will too. What are we doing with the relationship that he has given us through Christ? Are we being faithful? Are we communing with him? Can we recognize that we have to make it personal? We have to get to that point where we say, it's my own. It's my faith. We've seen a bunch of people do that this past couple of weeks through baptism. It's been so encouraging. Another part about making it personal with you is this. Your whole person. You're a whole person, and you've got to make it personal in all of you who you are as a person. Think about that. Not just emotional faith. Just feelings. No. No knowledge of the Bible. You know, kindergarten knowledge of the Bible, but just lots of emotions. Not that. Also, not mere intellectual faith. Tons of theology, tons of trivia answers to Bible questions, but no real deep affections for Jesus. That both of those sort of errors in one extreme direction or the other, both of them, here's what they do. They depersonalize you. God created you as a whole person to know him with all of who you are. Just like you have a relationship with someone in your life normally, you don't want to just know them intellectually, do you? Or just know them emotionally? No, as a whole person, you know people and you know God personally. That's the vision. Mark 12:30, the great commandment, it says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." So a personal relationship with God is the whole person. All of us knowing God. I'll add this little piece in here. Personal, not professional. Personal, not professional. Sometimes we're so much into serving God that we work for God, but we don't worship God. We've become professional in our relationship with God, but we're not personally really worshiping God. We don't have an unhurried sense of wonder and reverence for what he's done for us and who he wants to be in our lives. And this is a real snare in Christians' lives as we serve one another, as we do lots of great things. But are we fueled by the great thing that God's done for us in Christ? And so I love this quote. Someone asked Billy Graham, who recently passed away, famous evangelist from the state of North Carolina. Someone asked him, you know, Billy, you've been personal friends with 13 presidents. You've led, people say you've led 3 million people to faith in Christ. You've traveled all over the world. What is the highlight of that amazing ministry that you've had? And he says very quickly, that's easy. The highlight is my personal relationship with Jesus through it all. Amen. And it's like, what? Like, that's just crazy. Like, who talks like that? People who make it personal with them. Make it personal with you. Personal, not professional. Also, personal 24/7. Personal all the time. If it's a personal relationship with God, then we have got to commune with God throughout every part of our life. How weird would it be if you and your spouse, or you and your brother or sister, or you and whoever significant other in your life, were only really close friends for a set 2 hours each week? All right, we're married. Let's be married for 2 hours. Okay, we're done. You know, marriage service is over. We have that once a week for 2 hours. That's a little odd. No, it's a relationship, right? It's 24/7. It's throughout the day. It's throughout the week. It's whatever you're doing through the highs and lows. It's in your hobbies. It's at the movies. It's whatever you're doing. You're practicing the presence of God. You're engaging in your relationship with Him. I love this quote, and I think it will be on the screen. But listen to this quote. It says, "Be most in the engagements which you have experimentally proved to draw you nearest to Christ, because it is from Him that all your fruits proceed. Any holy exercise which will bring you to Him will help you to bear fruit." So I'll leave that up there for a second. Let me tell you why I like it. All right, look, if you look in the Bible, there are lots of already prescribed ways to draw you close to Christ. God gives us means of grace. He gives us ways. Community with other Christians. Studying the Word. Being in the Word. Communion, which we're going to have this morning. Worshiping the Lord. There's lots of ways. But I believe God makes us all uniquely. You know, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are ways just unique to your personality that you connect with God. If you've gotten started with Jesus and if you're making it personal with you, there are ways that you feel drawn close to the Lord. And that's why I love this quote. It gives you freedom and permission. Do those things, because whatever draws you genuinely closer to Christ in your life, you got to do that, because it is in closeness to Christ where the fruit and the power for your life will come. So if it's being alone, if it's going to a concert, if it's playing sports, if it's playing golf, whatever it is, I mean, you know, if you can do it in a way where it is worship unto the Lord, and it draws you closer to God in your relationship with Him, be in those things. Be in those things so that you are drawing close to the Lord. So again, three steps, we've finished two. Get started with Jesus, make it personal. And now number three, keep it personal. Keep it personal with the Holy Spirit. Can I know God personally? Yes, you can. Here's how. Get started with Jesus. Make it personal with you. Keep it personal with the Holy Spirit. Let me say a quick comment about formulas. There are no formulas with God. He is not the cosmic vending machine where you put your money in, or the cosmic ATM machine where you put your pen in. There's no formula with God. You could do all the things. I'm going to give you four wise practices to keep your relationship with God personal through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share those because they're from the Word, but you could do all four of them perfectly, and God could say, you know what? You're going to be in a drought, in a valley, in your relationship with me for the next 10 years, even though you do those things. He's sovereign. He's God. He wants us to know him personally. He wants to walk with us closely. He wants to be near to us. He wants to be present in our lives. But he's God. There's no magic formula. There's no sort of incantation to bring down sort of the constant Shekinah glory everywhere you go in your life. Okay? But there are some things that you can do to guarantee that you won't experience his presence. There are some things you could totally neglect to almost guarantee that you won't experience God's presence in your life. So I just want to share with you four wise practices to help us keep it personal with the Holy Spirit. Number one, surrender daily to God's leading. I think this is an important daily practice for us each to consider doing daily. Ephesians 5:18 says this, "Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit." What's that talking about? Well, Paul there, writing to Christians like us, he's saying, instead of being under the influence of alcohol, be under the influence of the Spirit. In other words, make a choice every day that you're going to be filled with the Spirit to the point that you're filled with the Spirit level is at a level that you're under the influence. In other words, every day, surrender to God's leading. God, it's you or me today. And I'm saying, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want you to have controlling influence in my life. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. You're the leader. Maybe multiple times a day, but for sure daily. This is a continuous command. It's a present tense command. He's telling Christians, be filled with the Spirit. He's not saying get the Holy Spirit. You get that at conversion. He's saying be on an ongoing practice as a habit in your life as a Christian. Be filled with the Spirit. So surrender daily to God's leading. Number two, listen to God's perspective. Listen to God's perspective. We're talking about how to keep it personal with the Holy Spirit, how to have this personal relationship with God. Listen to God's perspective. From Psalm 1, 1 through 3. I could have said read the Bible, but let's make it personal. You know what I mean? Like, you have a relationship that you are part of with someone and you want to get to know them, you want to really have a close personal relationship, you got to listen. Not just hear them as they talk and you think about what you're going to say next or other things as they talk. No, but focus and listen. A quality personal relationship is filled with listening and taking in that other person's perspective. And so I think Psalm 1, 1 through 3 is great for that, for our relationship with God. Listen to it. It says, "Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." You see these words. It says delight in the law of the Lord, day and night. It says meditate on the law of the Lord. It's this idea of listening to God's perspective. He is a person. He has desires. He has a will. He has his character. And we're to know him. And know what he wants, and know his heart, and listen to it, and chew on it, and think about it, and meditate on it. Take his perspective. Number two, that's number two. Number three, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. 1 John 1:9. See, here's what happens. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you surrender to God's leadership on a regular basis, or if you just do it once, right? If you surrender to God's leadership, and if you are taking in God's perspective, meaning you are abiding in the Word, you are meditating on truth, you are hearing God's will, if you do these things, you're going to inevitably, as a flawed human being, become conscious of sin in your life. God is going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, that area of your life, it's not going to work for us being in a close relationship. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to say, that's not going to, you can't keep doing that. You're going to be miserable. You can't have a close relationship with God and live in clear, obvious, unbiblical sin here. It's just not going to work. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you surrender to God, if you meditate on His perspective, the Holy Spirit is going to say that to you. And when He says that to you, what are you going to do? What can you do? You can confess your sin. You can confess your sin. You can say, God, and confessing sin is not about beating yourself up over your sin. It's about acknowledging that you have sin. And then freeing yourself from that sin through realizing that Jesus died for your sin. And through turning from your sin and walking in the newness of life that Jesus has created for you. That's confession. So the verse is this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we want to keep short accounts with God. A close relationship with God. A life that is characterized by a close personal relationship with God will also be characterized by frequent confession of sin to God. Not just horizontal confession where you're trying to make sure people aren't upset with you, but vertical confession where you're recognizing that when you sin horizontally, you grieve God. And you want to acknowledge that to Him and experience this cleansing that John talks about. So, surrender daily to His leadership. Listen to His perspective. Keep short accounts, confession. And now last, talk to God about everything. Talk to God about everything. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Talk to God about everything. One of the real blessings of a personal relationship with God, this relationship that we're talking about this morning, is that it's deeply personal. You know, that voice that we all have, it's called the intrapersonal voice. The talking to yourself voice. The thinking aloud but silently voice. That place inside of you that has always been there where you're just thinking about what's going on. You're talking internally about what's happening around you, about what you want, your desires, your things you're anxious about. That place, that space in you where that voice is talking. God wants to be in that space. He wants to be your companion in that place. And we can turn all these anxious thoughts into prayers. We can turn all of these sort of moments of oh, I'm so glad that happened, into praise. We can turn all of our desires into requests that are filtered through the will of God. God wants to walk with us. We don't ever have to be alone when we have this personal relationship with God. He wants to invade our space in the best way imaginable. So that's a huge blessing. As we keep short accounts with God, as we talk to God about everything. So as we conclude, we've asked the question, can I know God personally? We said, yes, I can know God personally. But I want to go one step further and say this. It's what life is all about. It's not just possible. It's the purpose of life. Look at John 17:3. It's on your insert, your notes there. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So I want to ask the band to come back up, and we're going to pray together. We're going to reflect just a little bit on what we've looked at here this morning. Remember when we started this morning, I read to you from Psalm 8, where David says, God, you have created the heavens, the galaxies. You have made all of this wonderful thing. And he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? But that's a place where David was at. But if you keep with David and you read the rest of the Psalms, like Psalm 84, verse 10, he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. Recognizing just the infinite value of a close relationship with God. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is the purpose of life, to know God and to make Him known. So let's close in prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me, we're going to pray. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to have communion together today. I just want to ask each of you this morning, as you hear the truth this morning, that we can know God personally and that it is possible, but we've got to get started with Jesus. We've got to make it personal. We've got to keep it personal. I just wonder this morning, as we reflect on that, how does that hit you? What is God telling you? What is your next step? Maybe you've not started with Jesus. Just want to encourage you to put your faith in Christ today. It's not too complicated just to put your faith in the person and work of Jesus on your behalf. Maybe you have neglected your personal relationship with God for other things. Busyness even in ministry or busyness in family or in life. And you're like the church of Laodicea, and Jesus is telling you to repent, to change your direction with that, to confess that to God and invite Him back to make this relationship with Him way more deep and personal than it has been. Let me just encourage all of us this morning to use this next song and use communion to respond to the Lord from our hearts. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.